Pretty awesome year last year. Those are a few images from it. And my name is Pete. I'm campus minister here. Guy leading worship is Ben. Guy who's doing announcements is Phil. Ben's wife is also on staff, and we have two interns with us this year too. We have Haley and Michelle, and we're excited to have them. And if you're someone who was in those pictures last year, I'm glad you're back. And I'm excited to do this all over again. I think there's never enough stories to tap into and to just see what God's going to do each and every year. And if you're new, I want to take just 2 minutes before we get started tonight and just explain a little bit of who we are, because I think it's important. You deserve that. You're here to just kind of check things out, I'm sure. I just want to be very honest about who we are and what we do. This is not going to be a highly productive place every Monday night. It's going to be a place we're not going to have a smoke machine, we're not going to have the lights, we're not going to do a lot of the things that that might be attractive, as much as we are just a group of people that are honest, a group of people that are real, and a group of people that are just trying to hold the hand of Jesus and follow him. And we like to do it together, and we understand that the best way to do that is in community, and that we can't just do that as a lump sum on Monday nights. And so we break into groups, and we try to do this intentionally, that we can become family. And that's really what we're about. We're about family, and the things that go on outside of this place on this particular night are really what happen and where God really, really moves the most. And we always talk about kneecap to kneecap with people. And a stage to a crowd has its place, but this is not. I don't want you to think that this is really the crux of what we're about. It's about these staff investing into leaders, investing into the rest of us here. We want all of us this year to grasp this idea of discipleship. We're excited about it this year. We're going to dive into that much more intently later on. But tonight, we're going to introduce kind of just a starting point for all of us. And I like this year. I like this time of year. It's an awesome, awesome time of year. It's a chance for us to just start off on the right foot. And in order for us to do that effectively, and I think the way God wants us to, let's take just a little bit of time. Still ourselves. Let me still my heart. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be quiet for just about 20 seconds and just kind of let Jesus come in and all the crap that's with us just kind of go out. And just let God have this time, okay? Is that a deal? 20 seconds, and let's see if we can just filter that and allow God to do his thing. So let's just take some time and do that. Father, we want to be honest with you this year. We want to go hard after you. We want to see you do some things that we could never do. And Father, I'm asking that tonight would be the start of that, that we would get our hearts ready to be primed and pumped for what it is that you want to happen this year. I ask for honesty. I ask for transparency. I ask for realness in each of our lives, because you can't do anything with fake people. Help us to be honest. Help us to be real. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, I know this. Each of you come from very different backgrounds. And we are all here from very different towns, different homes, different churches, maybe not church, I don't know. You might be from very different walks of life. And we are all here at this place called campus, and there is something that's going to happen probably this year to every single one of you. I don't know what day it's going to fall on, but there is going to be a day this year where you're going to wake up and a realization is going to happen. It's going to be the same realization for each and every one of you. Some of you, it's going to happen on October 3rd. Some of you, it's December 2nd. Some of you, it's going to be in March sometime. For many of you, it's going to happen maybe even tonight. But it's going to happen for all of you. And this realization is going to come in. It's going to be like, Pete, you're going to depress us. This is a really depressing statement. It's going to sound depressing at first, but I think you'll understand after I say it that it's really not. This is the realization that you're going to all come to. You can never go home again. Oh, you'll go home and you'll visit. You'll have Christmas and Thanksgiving. But that place that you left to come here is probably not going to ever be your home again. Well, geez, Pete, way to bum everybody out to start the first week out. But think about the alternative. You know about two or three of those people, right? They're like 42 years old and they're living in mom and dad's basement and they're like king of the world of Warcraft. And that's like their whole life. You're like, you don't want to be that. You're going to want to move on. You don't want that to be your home. And so it's going to happen for all of you at some point this year. You're going to wake up one day and you don't know what's going to come. It's going to blindside you. And that day is going to come and you're going to be like, holy cow, I can never go home again. I can visit, but it's never going to be my home again. For some of you, it's going to happen by force. And you're like, how can it happen by force? This is an example, okay? I've been doing this for 19 years here at ISU. And these are some of the stories that I've heard. This is going to be one of them. And it's probably happened, some version of the story has happened to even some of you that are sitting here, I'm sure. And if it hasn't, some of you freshmen are going to be getting your eyes really big and be like, oh my gosh, that's going to happen to me. All right. You're going to be here. You're going to start getting comfortable. You're going to get in the flow of things. It's a little bit awkward because you're kind of used to home. But you'll slowly begin to adjust, and you're going to look forward great to that day that you get to go back and visit. And so Thanksgiving comes around, and you walk up to the house, and the aroma is coming through into the yard. You're so excited about Thanksgiving dinner, and your mom's cooking your favorite meal, and she greets you at the door, and she gives you a big kiss and a hug and welcome home. And you're just like, this is wonderful. And so you take a peek into the oven and everything looks wonderful. And you take a peek into the living room and there's dad sitting there and his lazy boy watching the Lions lose because it's Thanksgiving. And you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a little stretch and a little snooze before dinner. And you walk down that very familiar hallway and you get to your room and you walk in and you're like, where's my bed? And you're going to realize that your mom has changed your bed and transformed your bedroom into a sewing room. Mom, what's the deal? What's the deal? We're going to have a chat with you over dinner about this, honey. Your father and I are beginning to, I don't know, warm up to the idea of you being out and this being our home. And we're stretching out a little bit and we're excited that you're here for Thanksgiving, and we want you to enjoy the meal, but after that, it's like, bye-bye. And you're going to realize that that's your day. That's the day you're going to realize, I'm being forced out. I'm being forced along. And some of you are freshmen right now, you're thinking, oh, that's going to happen. And so it could happen to you in a different way, because Thanksgiving is going to come for you as well, and you're going to be really scared to go home. And you're going to work your way home, and you're going to be, oh my gosh, I smell the aroma in the yard, just like Pete said it was going to be. And there's mom, she's greeting me at the door. Please, mom, don't greet me at the door. I know what this means. She's going to give you a hug, and she's going to give me a kiss, and she's going to say, I love you, and we got your favorite meal cooking. Oh, shoot. You take a peek into the living room. Sure enough, dad's watching the Lions lose. Oh, what are we going to do? So you pull up enough courage to say, Mom, is it possible that maybe I could, if I had to, that this could be a place I could stay? Oh, sweetie, we would love for you to stay. We love you. We want you. If you want to stay here the rest of your life, you can. And you're like, sucker, Pete. Yeah. And you're going to be like, I'm going to show Pete. But just to be sure, you kind of walk down the hall and you kind of peek in your bedroom just to make sure there's no sewing machines. Everything's just as you left it. You come back, you have your meal, everything's fine. And you finally take a deep breath and you think, you know, not for me. This is going to be my home. This could be my home. And then after dinner's over, you've got a few friends to meet and you say, Dad, I'm going to meet a few friends. And you hit that front porch, and you say, I'll be back about 2. And you hear this utterance from the living room, the hell you are! As long as you live under my roof, you're going to obey my rules, right? Who hasn't heard that one?
As long as you live under my roof, and we want you to live under our roof, honey. But if you do, you're going to have to live by my rules. And you're going to go to your mom, and you're going to say, Mom, Dad's being ridiculous. And she's going to take your hand, and she's going to pat it, and she'll be like, I'll talk to him. Don't you worry, sweetie. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. But maybe for tonight, it might be best. It might be best for you to actually go to bed a little bit early, because we got scrapbooking early in the morning at Aunt Jan's at 6. And it's at that moment for you that you're going to realize you can never go home again. It's going to be a forced thing for you. You don't want it to be forced. You want it to be by choice. And for many of you, it's going to be by choice. And there's lots of things that will pull us from home. It could be an occupation or a career. It could be a community. It could be a group. It could be a girl. It could be a guy that pulls you away from home, that makes it your choice to move on. But my prayer, my deep prayer for you tonight is that your choice to move on from home would be an awful lot like a guy named Peter. We're going to look at his story intently tonight of how he left home. And a few things that we need to know about Peter. There's a few things that are facts that we know about Peter. Peter lived about 2,000 years ago in the northern part of Israel called Galilee. It was like this whole region of farmland and small towns. It's kind of like the middle of Illinois. And right in the middle of this land of Galilee, there was this huge lake. Lake of Genesaret is the name of it. But its nickname was more popularly known as the Sea, because it was like so big. It was like the Sea of Galilee. It was the sea of this farmland. It's about 3.5 miles long, 1.5 miles wide, big body of water. And we know that Peter lived in a town called Capernaum, which is on the north side of this lake. Pretty good place to live. Got a house on a lake. We also know that Peter owned a boat. And we also know that Peter was a fisherman. Something else we know, if we really dive into things, we know that Peter paid taxes, which means that he had to be at least 20 years old. But we also know that he was single at this time when Jesus meets him, and so he's probably not much more than 20 years old. So he's about 20, 21, like many of you. What else do we know about Peter? Those are basically We know that Peter, from other accounts, was a person that spoke first and he thought second. Spoke before he thought. He was hot-tempered and was very, very passionate. So knowing what we know about Peter, I don't think it would be too hard for us to assume. I don't think it's going out on a limb to assume a couple of things about what his life may have been like. I'm assuming that Peter liked his house, liked where he lived. I've actually been to this area. I've been to Capernaum, and I've been to a place where they say is Peter's house, which would have been about 100 yards from the water. And there's other houses that you could see that would have been interspersed throughout that little town right there. And it's a small town. He was raised there, so he probably knew everybody in town. Some of you came from a small town. You know what that's like. I don't think it's probably far-fetched to think that he had a few enemies probably in town, because he did tend to speak first and think second. But I'm quite sure he had a couple of buds, too, that he drank some beers with on Friday night, threw some cards with, some guys that he fished with. Probably had a nice little nook all set up in a little place that he could just call home. It was his place. It was his pad. I don't think it's out of reason to think that maybe down the street and a little bit to the left, down this back way, there's this house that stood where he had a girl. Maybe a girl that he'd been dating since sixth grade named Brenda. Because it's a Mediterranean, Middle Eastern name. And Brenda and him probably been dating since they were 10 years old, 12 years old. And maybe this spring is going to be the year that he actually asks her to marry him and they could live in the same house. But there's one thing that you got to know about Peter. There's one thing that I don't think is going out too far in an assumption at all. Is that Peter was a man. And men don't really have their hearts or their homes set on a place. Their homes are set on their heart, if that makes sense. Like, their home is where their heart is. You've heard that phrase before. And for a girl, usually most girls, your heart and your identity is based on who you're with. And for a guy, it's based largely on what you do. Occupation. Peter's occupation was fishing. And I am pretty sure, as a fellow fisherman myself, named Peter, come on. I feel like I'm an expert at this. I think I can speak on his behalf. I think that Peter spent hours thinking and dreaming of how he could be a better fisherman. And as guys go, you're always competing. And there was probably a guy down the shore a little ways that brought in a catch of fish of about 80 fish about 10 years ago, and everyone's like, ugh, I want to be like that. I want to get to 80 fish. And maybe the best he ever did was like 50. And so he would take his boat out, his very own boat, a boat that he took pride in. Guys kind of take pride in their rides, right? And he hops in this boat, and I'm sure he's examining, exploring this lake, all 3.5 miles long of it, finding out where the drop-offs are, studying the weather patterns. How does he know when to go out? Usually at night, it's the best time to go out. He's got his nets. He knows where to throw them. He knows when to throw them. He knows how to do this thing. This is Peter's passion, and he dreams about it, and he thinks about it all the time. How can I get a big catch? And that brings us really to where our story picks up. Our story picks up with Peter one morning after a long night of fishing, because that's usually when you have to fish. He got skunked. That's fishing talk for I didn't catch a ding-dang thing. And he got skunked, and he's kind of licking his wounds, and he's cleaning his nets, and he's got his boats right up there next to his house. His house is about 100 yards up the shore, right, or up inland a little bit. He's right there at the foot of Capernaum. He's washing his nets, and he's ready to take a nap. And maybe a little later, he's going to go over to Brenda's house, and he's going to talk with her about his day or about his night. And just as he's washing the nets, he hears a commotion. There's not a lot of commotion in this part of the world. It's a really secluded area. And he sees and looks up, and he sees there's this crowd of people that are making some noise, and they're making their way, and it looks like they're surrounding some person. Some person yells up to him, his buddies. He's got James and John with him, his other fishing buddies. What could that be? And they're talking to him about, well, it might be that guy named Jesus. And Peter's thinking, I've never met Jesus. I've heard about this guy. My neighbor, I think his mother-in-law said she was healed a couple towns over. I don't know what that was all about. But I'd kind of like to meet this guy, and it's not very often that we have entertainment come into town, so I might just make my way over there after I finish these nets. And as he's washing his nets, that crowd gets a little bit louder and a little bit closer, and he's like, hey, I think they're coming our way. And they keep coming. They say, hey, they're going to pass right by us. He keeps washing his nets. And that crowd came right in front of Peter James, and John. And right there it stopped. And that's where our story picks up tonight. Let's take a look. It says here, it says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter. And he asked to put out a little from shore, and then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now think about this, if you're Peter, this is pretty cool. Like, you're just a fisherman. You like it, by the way. I mean, this is your livelihood. This is your home. This is your identity. It is your passion. It is your expertise. And this is what you do. And you're not jealous of other things, but it's pretty rare to have a celebrity come to your backyard. And then he's like, stops by chance right in front of his boat. And he says, I want to jump in your boat. Can I use your boat? You betcha. Puts him in the boat, puts him out a little from water. He's thinking, man, that's my boat. I wonder if anyone's noticing how cool this boat looks. It's mine. And Jesus is in it. I've heard this guy. He's kind of popular and stuff. I'm not sure what he's going to do here. He's just kind of doing a sermon right now, but I'm looking forward to something later. And he's thinking to himself, maybe, you know, can't wait to tell Brenda later, Jesus used my boat. And this is really the setting. And here's where I guess I want to ask you, has Jesus been maybe just like Peter, a person you've heard of? You've heard of stories he's done, but maybe he's walked into your vicinity lately. Maybe he's even used something of yours. I want to tell you, Jesus does not stop at just getting close to you. He goes after your heart. And that is exactly what he does with Peter. Peter, I think, unknowingly, is realizing that this Jesus looks pretty good from a distance. And as he's getting closer, he's like, this is awesome. This Jesus is going to be in my boat. He's in my boat. He's using me. This is better than I could have expected. Got skunked last night, but this is pretty cool. Next. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, he says, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. This is really interesting. This is really interesting because we know if Peter is a typical guy, and he is, he's going to get a little bit offended about preacher boy coming along and telling him where to fish. Jesus, no. Peter's like, I know how to fish. You know how to preach. You leave the preaching to yourself, and I think you do a great job of that. Good little sermon. I don't know what you said, but that was really good. But let the expert on fishing be an expert on fishing. And Jesus says, I'm going to take you up on your expertise, and I want to challenge you to obey me in your area of expertise. And Peter says, prime time's over. We fished hard all night, didn't catch anything, but because you said it, I'll do it. And so he puts out into a little bit deeper water, and this is what happens. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them, and they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James, and so were John, and the sons of Zebedee, who are the sons of Zebedee, Simon's parents. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to fish for people." What is your area of expertise? I could tell you what my area of expertise was when I was 19. I'm pretty darn sure it's the same area of expertise for you. I told Jesus, "Jesus, you can do anything you want. You can ask me to do anything you want. You can ask me to give money. You can ask me to serve. You can ask me to do a lot of things. But don't you dare pick my friends for me. My area of expertise are the people that I am going to hang out with. And don't mess with that." And if I'm guessing right, because I've been on this campus now for 19 years, that's probably your area of expertise too. Are you willing? Are you willing to let Jesus say, "I'm going to pick your friends for you"? Now, Jesus never says, "I want you to just totally leave people that you might be with right now." But he, I think, is always saying, make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people that are going to be people that you want to be like. Godly, good, following Jesus kind of people. Do you realize that after Peter listened to that, after Peter let him, he obeyed him in his area of expertise, which had to be hard, he gets blessed like crazy, like grace is poured on his life. Grace basically means you're getting what you don't deserve. And anytime you get what you don't deserve, there is a pause that happens within your soul. You're like, "I don't deserve this." If I just came up and said, "Hey, I found $100, you want it?" You'd be like, "Yes." But there'd be a pause. Because you know you don't deserve that. And Peter has this pause. And in this pause, he realizes who he's standing with. He isn't some preacher boy. He's standing with the creator of that lake. He's standing in the presence of God with skin on. And he realizes, "This is God. I'm not. Get the heck away from me. I cannot be in this presence anymore. I've been dreaming my whole life for a catch of fish like this, and now I finally got it, and I want you to leave." That's what grace does to us. Grace causes us to feel awkward about that tension that we're in at that moment. And Jesus does something awesome. He grabs them. This is my picture of it. Grabs him by the shirt collar, looks him in the eyes, and he says, "If you only want to catch fish, be my guest. Catching fish is easy. I could do this all day long, but it's just fish. Look at them. They're just flopping there on the shore. But if you want to do something significant, if you want to change the world, if you want to be a follower of me who made this lake and made those fish, I'll make you a fisher of people." What choice do you have in that moment? I mean, really, what choice do you have? And I'm here to tell you, I don't think Jesus has changed one bit over the years. I believe he's still grabbing people by the shirt collar, and he is saying, "Don't be afraid. I know all the sin in your past. I know all the sin in your life that you don't even see right now. I know all the sin that you're going to do and all the mistakes you're going to make in the future. I don't care. I still want you. I still think that you can be a valuable contributor to this particular team. I want you on my team. We're going to be fishers of people. What do you say? That's what Jesus is saying. And Peter's like, who am I? And Jesus is like, all the better. I like the who am I kind of people that just, you're just a fisherman. God's going to be, my name's going to be so much greater in you than it would be in someone who thinks they're qualified. And I love, personally, Pete Coco loves working with college students because you're young, you're unqualified, and lets us see what the Lord can do through a bunch of people that are willing to just leave their stuff and follow Jesus. Last little verse, I love this. It says, so they pulled up their boats upon the shore. They left everything. And they followed him. Oh. Peter had a pretty sweet pad. He left it. Peter had his own boat. He left it. Peter had a bunch of flopping fish. He left them. He left those nets that he was working on, those nets that he was cleaning. He even left Brenda. Because there is nothing that compares to the call of God. And he just followed Jesus. And the adventure and the life, that was the best decision he ever made. Best decision he ever made. And it was at that moment, it was in that time, it was at that time when Jesus grabbed him by the shirt collar and he says, I want you to follow me and I want us to be fishers of people. That was his day. That was his day where he realized, I can never stay in this home again. This is not where I'm living. I'm following Jesus. And if you look at Jesus, Jesus didn't have a church. It isn't like we're going to go up to Tiberias and we're going to camp out at the church or the synagogue. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus wandered through. He wandered around. He was on the way. And we have got an intentional idea this year of making our small groups, allowing us to all go through the same thing together this year. And we're going to call these, the title of these groups or the theme that we're going through is simply On the Way. We just want to go on the way. Jesus was on the way, and we're going to follow Jesus just like Peter did tonight. And we're going to ask you tonight. You came in tonight, you probably got a little small group card. Did y'all get a card when you came in? And maybe you got a pen. Am I here by myself? Is there, anyone got a pen? You got the? Great, thank you. All right, and what I want you to do, we're going to sing a couple songs here at the end. And I'm telling you, what I said at the beginning, I want to tie into right now. There is nothing more crucial to the community of encounter under God this year than for us to be in groups. Did you notice on the video how many people were in groups? Did you notice all those? Those are like families. You ask anybody that's been here a while, hey, this is what we do. And there's awesome opportunities for you to be in a group and to find a family away from home. And we're just going to be intentional about being real and about being honest and about following Jesus and going on the way. And each week we're going to study another on the way Jesus encounter and how can we live and learn from it. Very simple. It's going to be a powerful, powerful semester. But it all starts with you filling out a card tonight. And then during these last couple songs, we're going to pass these buckets around. And we'll keep them in this section, keep a bucket in this section, a bucket in that section, a bucket in that section. And just pass them back like you just did the clipboards and just drop your card in there. And by next week, you're going to get somebody to call you. And if you don't, make sure you let us know. But someone will call you and we'll start meeting on the way with Jesus. What do you say? Awesome. All three of us can do it. Let's stand. Jesus, I want to thank you for the opportunity that you have given us here tonight to follow you. Thank you for Peter, his example for us. I'm asking, God, that we would be people that would understand we're not going to be ever home again. Let us make our time with you the kind of time that's going to, by choice, lead us to where our new home's going to be. We're excited about what you're doing. We're excited about how the school year has started. I'm excited about the people in this room, about all the stories that are developing and what's going to happen this year. It is unbelievable what you have orchestrated, what you're going to do, and how you move. And God, I'm asking for all of us here tonight to have the courage to fill out a card, drop it into our bucket, and to just be ready. To be ready to meet you, to see you, to experience you in very new ways. Thanks for this new beginning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.